Greetings, everyone, and this is Brother Bedford, and I want to welcome you to another exciting episode of Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs, those who've been there and done that. It is the mission of us over here working very hard to try to bring you the brothers and sisters who've taken the time, developed the discipline to look at their talents, their skills, and their gifts, and then cultivate them and then bring them to the marketplace, whether it's through their books, their speaking engagements, and then really just getting their hands dirty and really building businesses from the ground up. And that's really the mission here, to bring you those brothers and sisters to inspire you to take the next step, whether it's starting your business or growing your business to the next level. So we get many jewels from the speakers or the presenters that come on the show to kind of help to give us that insight. And today is no exception. We really have a powerhouse on the line with us today. And normally I don't read from the bios because I love to hear in their own words to kind of share exactly who they are. But I am going to read from this gentleman's bio because I think there's some things that I want to highlight that I think would be so beneficial for our audience to hear. And then, of course, we'll let him tell us in his own words about his background and his story and his struggles and his triumphs. Okay, so let's get right in because I want to make sure that we get as much information to you as possible today. Now, Simon T. Bailey. He is the CEO of Simon T. Bailey International. Now, this is a premium education company specializing in creating learning and development content for individuals and organizations. Now, Simon derives great joy by sharing and inspiring men and women with a simple transformational framework and the tools needed to create a purposeful life and a meaningful and profitable business. Now, Simon delivers tangible takeaways that are easy to implement and produce sustainable results. He connects with any audience on many levels with a relevant message that resonates beyond the stage. Simon serves as a guide and catalyst, challenging people to shift and create their future. With his wisdom and expertise, an Orlando-based healthcare system was able to be acquired, and a division of a hospitality company was ranked number one for customer service by Expedia.com. And he's had many, many more accomplishments, and we'll talk about that. Now, Simon is one of America's top 10 most booked corporate and association speakers on change, leadership, and customer experience. He has worked with over 1,500 organizations and has impacted more than 2 million people through his presentations and seminars in 45 countries worldwide. Now, as a Hall of Fame keynote speaker, executive advisor, and author, he addresses more than 100,000 people each year. Some of his clients include AT&T, IBM, MasterCard, Microsoft, and Toyota. Now, his popular Building Business Relationships course for LinkedIn, and that's available on lynda.com, has been viewed by 20,000 professionals in 100 countries. His new course, How to Find a Sponsor, is receiving rave reviews. Simon is the top-selling author of 7 books and creator of the Shift Your Brilliance System. Now, that's a personal development program that takes individuals and organizations on a transformational journey to create a brilliant life and business. A percentage of the revenue from system sales benefits the U.S. Dream Academy, a nonprofit organization that positively impacts urban youth. Now, prior to founding his company, Simon worked in the hospitality and tourism industry for 20 years and was sales director and new business development director for the world-renowned Disney Institute based at Walt Disney World Resort. Now, Simon holds a master's degree from Faith Christian University and was inducted as an honorary member of the University of Central Florida Golden Key Honor Society. He is also a former member of the Advisory Council for Management and Executive Education at Rollins College Crummer Graduate School of Business, one of the top 25 best private graduate business schools in the United States. He was named Man of the Year by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Central Florida and serves on the board of directors for the U.S. Dream Academy and the Orlando Health Foundation. Speaker Magazine also selected him as one of the top 25 hot speakers shaping the profession. Now, when Simon is not working, he spends quality time with his two active teenagers, he roots for the Buffalo Bills, and is an avid movie goer. Now, without further delay, I want to welcome you to the call, and thank you for joining us this morning, Simon T. Bailey.
Hey, good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. And the reason I wanted to read your bio is because there's so many different areas and facets that you touch, and I wanted to make sure that those things were lifted so that our audience can really see the scope of what it is that you truly provide. And so I really wanted to do that because I think that these areas that you touch on are so critical for those of us who are either in the beginning stages of entrepreneurship, and even those of us who have expanded our businesses and we're looking to scale and grow. You've been on all of these different levels, and so I really wanted to highlight that and make sure that our audience was aware. So thank you again, Simon, for being here.
Hey, good to be with you.
Now, with all of this that you've done, in your own words, can you please tell us who is Simon T. Bailey?
I like to say I'm a simple guy from the ghetto of Buffalo, New York, whose parents dropped me off at Morehouse College 30 years ago. And at the end of my freshman year, they said, "We don't have the money to send you back to Morehouse, nor do we have money to bring you back home to Buffalo, but we do love you." And I eventually did go back to school. I was just on the 10-year plan to finish. So I'm just a simple guy from Buffalo trying to make a dent in the universe. And our vision is to reach over a billion people in the next decade with this message of how to be brilliant in an average world.
Wow. Wow. Now, we mentioned some of the things that you've been doing now after college, and when did you get started with this thing we call entrepreneurship? How did that start for you?
Yeah, for me, it actually started about 17 years ago. I was sitting at my desk at the happiest place on earth, the Walt Disney World Resort, and my phone rang, and on the other end of the line was a journalist from Florida Business Trend magazine. And whenever you work at Disney, Mickey Mouse rule number one is you never talk to the media. Well, I decided to talk to the journalist, and he said, "Where do you see yourself 10 to 15 years from now?" And I said, "I see myself as the president and CEO of the Walt Disney World Resort and eventually the chairman and CEO of the Walt Disney Company." And he puts this in print. So the article comes out, page 12, Florida Business Trend magazine, February 2002. And my boss calls me in the office. He's like, "What were you thinking when you did this interview?" And I said, "Larry, I work at this company whose motto is, 'If your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. For when you wish upon a star, it makes no difference who you are, but obviously it does here." So
right.
It's funny today was not funny then. So that
right.
became the quick exit strategy I needed to put in place. So about a year later, Disney didn't fire me, but about a year later, I realized it was time to go. So I cashed in my entire 401k with significant Disney stock, took out a line of credit on the house. Our country was going to war with Iraq for the second time, and corporations were laying off by the hundreds of thousands. And I just said, you know what? It's time to go for it. So we did it.
Hmm. Wow. Now, obviously, this had to be a major shift for you. I mean, you were in corporate America for, was it 20 years? So if you're in corporate America for 20 years, and now all of a sudden you're making this shift to entrepreneurship, I mean, how did you do that?
Yeah.
What were the challenges that you were facing?
You know what? I think some of the initial challenges is capitalizing the business. So I cashed in my 401k, took out a line of credit on the house. So I had about a 3-year runway. That was the first thing. The second thing is, what product or service was I bringing to the marketplace? And I had been going to National Speakers Association. I had watched Les and Willie and George Frazier and a lot of the brilliant minds. And I said, I think I can do that. And so, but what was my lane? Because I didn't want to, you know, copy anybody else, because there's a lot of people as speakers who are annoying echoes instead of original voices. So I said, my thing is brilliance. And so we landed on brilliance, came across some research, and away we went. And then probably the third challenge was, how do you get clients and customers and keep the phone ringing, keep the emails coming, and then build up a business so much so where you get referrals and you're not always having to dial for dollars. And so, yeah, those are some of the initial things we discovered early on.
Okay, great. Now, I do want to ask you, you know, how did you overcome those challenges? But before that, you hit on something. You talked about finding your lane. You saw models that were already in existence, but then you knew the importance of having your own voice or your own lane. I mean, how did you come up with that? Was that something that someone taught you? Was this just something that you intuitively said, you know, this is, you know, I think I better do this instead of that?
That's so interesting you asked that question, because what really was the catalyst was my mentor, a guy named Mark Sharona, and he said to me about 20 plus years ago, he said, you weren't born to fit in, you were born to be brilliant. And when he said it, it unlocked something in me. And I said, how can you say that, because you're a white man? And he said, you're stuck in your mind and your body thinking the pigmentation of your skin limits you. And he said, I'm telling you, you weren't born to fit in and be like everyone else. You were born to be brilliant. So literally when he said that, for the next 7 years, I just went on this journey of trying to discover, what in the world does that mean? Because, you know, as a man, I don't go to see a shrink to sit on a sofa to process my business. I keep it within.
Right, we never do, right?
What was happening, I was driving to Disney, and I would just be bawling. I mean, just nonstop bawling. And what I knew to do at that time was to write. And so writing became my therapy, and that's when I wrote Release Your Brilliance. And it came from this deeper place, because when I was growing up, I almost committed suicide. A boy had told me when I was 15, he said, you are so ugly, you are black as tar. And it was like somebody took a knife and just cut me. And I attempted to commit suicide, and what I recognized is at 34 years of age, when I heard that, I was now beginning this journey of healing. And so the whole thing of finding my lane started with, I was born to be brilliant.
Wow, that is awesome. So I'm sure that you would tell everyone. I think that's a nugget. You know, there are plenty of business models, people that we can model our businesses after, or even our speaking careers, or whether we write books. But I think you hit on something that's so critical for those of us who are starting up to really understand that it is equally as important, you know, yes, to have a model, but also to find your own distinct lane and your own voice. And I think you've exemplified that and shown us a great example of that, because you took one word and created your own lane. Wow.
Look,
I know it couldn't have been all roses, right? You made this shift, so... You know, you mentioned some of the challenges. How did you overcome? What was it internally that you had to wrap your mind around in order for you to overcome the challenges that are naturally ingrained in business?
Number one, I had to overcome feeling sorry for being born in the ghetto. I think for a long time I was really ashamed of being born in the ghetto of Buffalo, New York, and ending up in a drug-infested community in Atlanta, though I was not on drugs. It's all that I could afford after I dropped out of Morehouse. And I couldn't be bougie, you know, and be like, you know, all the folks at Morehouse and Spelman. And I had to get over that. And what I recognized, I had to forgive myself. And so that was number one. Number two, I had to forgive myself for feeling sorry about being born to a father who was Jamaican and was an immigrant to this country 50 years ago, and he picked apples in Mount Dora, Florida, migrated up to Perry, New York, picked oranges in Mount Dora, Florida, migrated up to Perry, New York, and picked apples. And so I was kind of ashamed of, you know, I didn't come, you know, from this family that was all pristine. And I had to embrace that and recognize, and that was my power, because it was inviting me to be authentic, right? And I think the third thing I had to realize is that, and this is probably the biggest challenge, I was offered a job to go and work at the Ritz-Carlton about 30 years ago, and I turned the job down at the Ritz-Carlton because I didn't have a concept of what a Ritz-Carlton was. You know, I thought they would ask me, you know, to say, we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. You know, I thought next they'd be asking me, would you please pass the Grey Poupon? You know, I'm like, whatever, right?
Wow.
And what I recognize, the reason I turned the job down and I went to Days Inn is because it's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not that holds you back. And I was focusing on who I thought I wasn't, because I didn't have the pedigree and the this and the that. And when I let that stuff go and really begin to embrace who I was, what I recognized that there are people who will come in your life and there will people that come through your life. And the people that come through your life are there for a reason and a season. They're there to make a deposit. And one of the people that came through my life was a guy named Jerry Wilson. And he began to speak into my life in such a profound way that literally shifted how I saw myself as a man, eventually a husband, eventually a father, and all of those things as an entrepreneur, as a business leader. And what I recognize is you are just one relationship away from having your entire season change. Just one relationship away.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is powerful. Now, obviously, as we're listening to you, you do this rather easily. You know, you speak, you flow. Your words flow. They have impact. They have meaning. As we read in your bio, you're one of America's top 10 most book corporate and association speakers. When did you know that speaking and being before people was going to be the road that you would be on?
So two quick stories. It started, believe it or not, 40 years ago when I was 8. And my father tells the story. He said, when I was 8 years of age, I used to go in the backyard and turn over the trash cans and stand on top of them and give a lecture to the grass and to the garden and to the rake and to the hole and to the garage and everything. And then he said, I used to tell both he and my mother that I was going to write books at 8. And now I'm 48. So when I look back, it started there. But when it really crystallized for me is I was in 1999, Disney sent me over to Paris to design a leadership program for 1,000 leaders out of Barclays Bank out of London. And while I was there in Paris, Lion King had just come out, and I said, remember who you are. You are more than what you have become. And I said it just in a stream of conscious.
Right.
I said it in a stream of conscious. And all of a sudden, at the end, I had a co-facilitator with me, and I was supposed to give a part of the presentation back to her when it hit a certain point in the PowerPoint, and I was just in a flow. I was going for it. And people came up to me afterward, and they said, we had goosebumps the entire time you were talking, and it's not from the air conditioned. Who are you? What's your story? And what I recognize is that I had walked away from what was my lane. Because when I went to high school, my freshman year in high school, I went to a trade school and I failed all the classes, sheet metal, air conditioning, refrigeration, plumbing, carpentry, failed them. I mean, it was like really bad. And I went out for the football team and got cut. I went out for the basketball team. They said, you are not the next Magic Johnson. And then I went out for track and field. And they said, my brother, you're a little slow. You need to do cross country. And I felt sorry for me. My parents felt sorry for me. So they transferred me to another school. And it was at that school where I met my English teacher, Miss Rita Lankus, and she said to me, young man, I want you to write a speech and give it before the entire school. And I said, okay, no problem. Well, fast forwarding, that moment in Paris took me back to that moment in high school. It was like deja vu. And what I recognized that I wanted to speak, write, train, consult, and coach, that's what I would do for the rest of my life because that was my innate talent and gift that had been lying dormant in me since 8 years of age. So, yeah, it started 40 years ago.
Wow. Now, I mean, that is such a profound story, and it's interesting how you were brought back to it. And now, so here's the gift, right? You in the backyard at 8 years old, giving speeches to the garden tools, and then here you are, you're working at Disney, and now you're being, I guess you would say, equipped with, the frameworks to kind of deliver your message. Would you say that's what was happening? So Disney was almost like another training ground for you.
Oh, Disney was my laboratory. Disney is where I got a chance to kick the tires. It's where I really understood the power of imagination and it coming alive. And so Disney was a huge catalyst to what I'm doing now. Absolutely.
Mm. Wow. Now, most people would say, you know, when you made that decision, obviously you said you weren't fired, but you made that decision. And Disney, most people would say, man, this is a dream place to work. I mean, now fast forwarding, looking at your time at Disney and now what you're doing now, Is there, would you, obviously I don't think there's no regrets. Before our listening audience, those who say, man, why would you leave this dream job? Can you compare where you were at Disney to what you're doing now?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I often tell people if it ended tonight, if this was it, this has been the best 15 years of my life, best decision that I ever made to walk away from what I could see to go after what I couldn't see physically, but I knew it existed spiritually, and I had to connect to my destiny. So everything that I've been through to get to this point was divinely orchestrated by God. Totally, totally. I have no regrets at all.
Wow. As our dear friend Della Toro would say, come on, somebody. I mean, that's so profound. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I got so many questions I want to ask you, and I know we don't have all day. Let's get back to some of these entrepreneurs. What advice? So now let's think back to the budding entrepreneur, those who are listening and saying, look, I'm in this job. I hear Simon T. Bailey, but how do I make that leap? What advice would you give that person who's interested in becoming an entrepreneur? And then I would also say not just an entrepreneur but slash speaker, because obviously you're one of the world's top speakers. So what advice would you give someone interested in becoming a speaker and starting a speaking business?
Yeah, so three things. Number one, the number one skill you must have in this noisy economy where people are uncertain is you must have the skill of discernment. Discernment is the ability to read the tea leaves of the times and recognize, how do I become a solution to a problem? How do I become an answer to a situation? And how do I become a subject matter expertise with the spirit of discernment that if I read one book a month over the next 10 years in my field of expertise, I would have read 120 books in a decade, and that would put me in the top 1% of the field. But how am I, with the spirit of discernment, becoming a thought leader who begins to write about it, teach about it, coach about it, begin to instruct from where I see things are going? Spirit of discernment, number one skill a entrepreneur must possess in order to stay relevant for where things are going. Second thing, for those who are entrepreneurs, how do you begin to recognize that customer service is dead? It is all about customer love. Anybody can go to a place and get service, but customer love is the point of differentiation that causes a person to yelp about you in this recommendation economy. So how do we move from just giving service that they can give anywhere to giving a little something extra? So I'll give you an example. I was at a hotel not too long ago, and I was waiting for my car to be pulled around via valet. And the gentleman standing on the curb, he worked at the hotel, he said to me, it's hot out here, let me get you some water. I said, absolutely. So he brings over bottled water to me. Not just bottled water that he had just taken out of the cooler that was dripping. He took a towel and he began to wipe the bottled water off, and he handed it to me. And I said, thank you very much. That's customer love, because it's going that extra step to recognize and to anticipate this person might be hot. Let me give him water. Let me take a towel and wipe it off. What is that extra step that you can do in your business to take it to another level? The third thing is, how do you begin to understand the power of platforms? So I was on a plane a few years ago with a guy named Dr. Peter Evans, and Dr. Evans has a PhD from MIT, and at that time he was director of global strategy for GE. His responsibility was to look 15 years into the future. So this guy is talking for 2 hours, and I'm writing, I'm taking notes, I'm asking a ton of questions. And one of the things he said to me, he said, Simon, you got to remember things are about platform theory. You got to understand platform theory. And I didn't get it. And all of a sudden, a few weeks later, a friend of mine said, Simon, you've got to get your content on lynda.com. Well, lynda.com, I had never heard of them. And I said, okay, I'm going to go out to Santa Barbara, California, went and took a tour of their facility, and what I discovered is that they were the Netflix for business, because if the adult attention span 10 years ago was 10 minutes, it's now 5 minutes. So they would take learning in a micro-learning standpoint, chunk it down, and disseminate it to people. I'm like, oh, my goodness, they're a platform. Well, as you know, LinkedIn acquired them, Microsoft acquired LinkedIn, and the one course that you read at the beginning of the introduction, that course we thought had been viewed 20,000 times. We just found out the other day it's been viewed 500,000 times, all because we're on a platform. So entrepreneurs have got to begin to think, how do I take what I do really well and leverage other platforms that are distribution channels into the world?
Wow. I mean, I've been writing notes, and I hope that our audience is taking notes as well. Customer service to customer love, that is beautiful. And then, of course, learning how to – I love the way that you said this, because I hear a lot of people talking about building a platform, but you took existing platforms that were already reaching millions of people, and you were able to leverage that platform to get your message out. That is profound and powerful.
Exactly.
Wow, Simon. Look, what is the chief characteristic? I mean, I hear you. Not only do we understand your business acumen and the experience that you've had, but obviously I can hear the spiritual tone that comes through your messages.
Mm-hmm.
It's one and the same. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned earlier, you discovered your gift. It's not something that's separate. I believe you got a master's degree from what was it?
Faith Christian University, yeah. Yeah, my master's and undergrad is in theology, and so spirituality drives everything that I do. And I think where it really, really started, I come from three generations of preachers. So my grandfather, father, uncle, brothers all grew up in the church and were pastors and preachers. But what I recognize is that what God had put in me was deeper than the church. And that's nothing against the church. I just had a lot more to offer. And my pastor said to me, he said, what you have to offer is bigger than the pulpit. Don't let the pulpit become your paradigm. Go out into the world. And what I recognize is that I am called to the marketplace, but I just happen to have a spiritual edge. And so it's really bringing that spiritual edge with everything that I love about business and literally blurring the lines, creating a hybrid to say we can be both spiritual and relevant in the marketplace. And so I really, really love the marketplace. Everything that I do is about the marketplace. I just spoke at Del Toro's conference, Anointed for Business, which is a marketplace-driven experience, and it was great. It was wonderful.
What do you believe is the chief characteristic that an entrepreneur must have today in today's environment?
The chief characteristic an entrepreneur must have today is the spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence should drive every man and woman listening to us. It should drive their business. It should be the ethos. It should be the DNA of how they do what they do. And here's why. When I first left Disney and went out on my own, one of the places and opportunities I had was to share the stage with the late, great Dr. Stephen Covey. And Dr. Covey said something profound that I had never heard before until that day. He said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spirit beings having a human experience. And I don't think that that quote originated with him, but it was the first time I heard it. And when I heard it, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I am a classic guy who was raised in the church, but my pastor said to me, you weren't born to be behind the pulpit. What you have to offer is bigger than the church. Go into the marketplace. And I did that, but being in the marketplace, what I recognize is when you operate with a spirit of excellence, a spirit of integrity, a spirit of not chasing money, but to provide service that people can't get anywhere else, that money begins to chase you. But that comes from a spirit of excellence because you're not trying to game someone into doing something. You don't have a slick scheme or plan. You're coming from a place of true servant leadership to say, how do I begin to help the one and the many? That's a spirit of excellence. That's what every entrepreneur has got to have in this hour.
Wow, that is so profound and beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Simon. Wow, look, I mean, we can go on and on and on, but tell us, how can we get in contact with you? How can people experience you? How can they get your books? I mean, how can they come into the Simon T. Bailey universe?
Sure, sure. Just go to SimonTBailey.com. They can follow us on social media, obviously, and all of our information is listed there. And really, they can get our books on Amazon, because our goal is to really help people be their brilliant self, to understand, how do I live brilliantly, lead differently, and grow profitably. That's what we do, and that's why we're here. So SimonTBailey.com.
Wow, thank you so much for this, Simon. So there you have it. I mean, this has been profound. You must share this. You must listen to this again. And most importantly, again, you're just getting just a few nuggets sprinkled on us today by Simon T. Bailey. You have to take a deeper dive with Simon. There's no doubt about it. I've experienced him. We've shared a platform at the Power Networking Conference. And again, I think we'll be doing that in a few weeks coming up.
Yes, for sure.
And I look forward to seeing you and greeting you once again face to face. And so thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. So I'm encouraging everyone who's listening, please go to SimonTBailey.com and really just gobble up everything you can from Simon T. Bailey to help you to begin your entrepreneurial journey. So, Simon, this has been a joy. I know that you have some other things to do. We have to do this again, because I have around 35 other questions I want to ask you. So we have to do this again.
Well, feel free to call us. We'll be happy to do it.
I appreciate you. So there you have it. Thank you all for listening today. And once again, this is your brother Bedford signing off. And we look forward to having you again next week with another powerful episode of Conversations with Black Men and Entrepreneurs. So take care, everyone. And thank you once again, Simon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to my Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the keyword, my brother, to 58885. Just text the keyword, my brother, to 58885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 58885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.